In the early 2010s, something remarkable was happening in American cities. Despite decades of warnings that businesses would flee at the first sign of regulation, more than 50 cities had enacted minimum wage laws by the late 2010s, many at $15 per hour, double what activists had initially proposed just a decade earlier. This transformation wasn't happening through traditional politics, but through a new kind of activism that explicitly linked economic and racial justice. When COVID-19 hit in 2020, followed by widespread protests against police violence and massive job losses, these seemingly separate crises revealed themselves as deeply interconnected parts of the same system of inequality. The urban renaissance had created not just prosperity, but also unprecedented leverage for justice movements to transform American cities into laboratories for economic democracy. Cities present a striking contradiction in today's economy. While inequality has worsened dramatically, urban areas have become unexpected winners in the global marketplace. This challenges the conventional wisdom that cities lack power to address inequality for fear of scaring away investment. Three economic shifts have transformed urban dynamics: post-Fordism, replacing mass production with specialized industries; deindustrialization, shifting jobs from manufacturing to polarized service sectors; and financialization, intensifying inequality through both employment and housing markets. These changes have made central cities essential coordination hubs for global production networks. Today's businesses depend on dense urban centers to provide specialized labor and innovation ecosystems. They can't credibly threaten to relocate when faced with regulations improving wages or working conditions. This economic transformation enables a fundamental shift in how we approach development. Rather than focusing solely on attracting businesses and hoping benefits trickle down, cities can directly regulate service industries that cannot easily relocate. Urban activism has transformed over four decades, shifting from neighborhood organizing to multi-issue coalitions that integrate economic and racial justice. This evolution paralleled major economic changes. The 1980s saw neighborhood coalitions pursuing electoral power by uniting minority communities with white progressives. Living wage movements emerged in the 1990s, connecting neighborhood groups with labor unions to combat service sector poverty. By the 2000s, these movements negotiated community benefits agreements with developers in response to uneven urban reinvestment. Post-Great Recession activism embraced new elements: explicit racial justice messaging, public confrontation, multi-organization networks, and critiques of capitalism and institutional racism. Organizations began prioritizing racial justice in their missions and resources. Chicago's Grassroots Collaborative illustrates this evolution. After their 2006 Big Box Living Wage campaign, director Amisha Patel recognized that while protesters were predominantly Black and Latino, the campaign hadn't addressed race directly. The Great Recession solidified their shift toward addressing racial inequities through public finance campaigns. Modern economic and racial justice coalitions view economic and racial inequalities as interconnected, finding leverage by targeting place-dependent service economies rather than mobile manufacturing. Rather than relying on chance, grassroots movements succeed through urban policy entrepreneurship, systematically replicating victories across multiple locations through strategic coalitions and experimentation with legislation and advocacy. Urban activists work within three key streams: problems, policies, and politics. In the problem stream, they leverage local venues like Occupy Wall Street's use of Zuccotti Park to shape public perception, aided by connections to local media. The policy stream operates through networks spanning multiple cities, providing access to diverse policy models and research. Multiple legislative forums allow activists to pursue several campaigns simultaneously across cities and states. The politics stream offers two key advantages. The urban real estate boom creates intervention points through public approvals, while municipal elections provide opportunities to escalate pressure through targeted campaigns. Unlike national policy entrepreneurs who must wait for opportunities, urban activists actively create change by staging protests, introducing legislation, and shaping political narratives through organizing. The fight for $15 revolutionized minimum wage politics in America. From a stagnant federal minimum of $5.15 and virtually no state or city minimums, the landscape shifted to most states exceeding $10 and many cities reaching $15. What began as experimental Black Friday strikes in Manhattan, Chicago, and Detroit in 2012 evolved into a nationwide movement. Organizers strategically expanded to cities like St. Louis and Detroit to highlight issues facing Black workers in anti-union regions. The movement built a national network, providing infrastructure, legal support, and shared learning for local economic and racial justice campaigns. SeaTac Washington made history with the first $15 minimum wage, passing by just 77 votes. Seattle followed with a unanimous council vote after sustained public pressure and ballot initiative threats. Chicago activists adapted this model to achieve a $13 minimum wage, using strategic initiatives that demonstrated 80% public support for $15. By 2019, $15 minimum wage laws had become standard policy in Democratic-controlled states, passing through legislatures with minimal resistance. Racial inequality persists as a major urban economic challenge. Cities have long used targeted hiring and public projects to create jobs for structurally unemployed residents. Chicago's 1987 Chicago First program highlighted both opportunities and obstacles. While Mayor Harold Washington championed it, contractor and union resistance, particularly around Black worker exclusion, hampered progress, which stalled after Washington's death. Community benefits agreements in the 2000s renewed targeted hiring by requiring developers receiving public funds to provide community compensation. San Francisco's 2011 mandatory local hire ordinance became influential. In post-Katrina New Orleans, where 52% of working-age Black men were jobless, community organizing drove hiring initiatives despite massive new investment. Economic justice now encompasses workers' control over time. Post-Great Recession workers faced both low wages and unstable schedules. Unlike minimum wage issues, scheduling problems remain poorly understood publicly. Fast food workers often cite unpredictable shifts and clopens, closing late, opening early, as more disruptive than low pay. While paid time off laws have spread to 20 cities and states since 2012, Fair Workweek policies exist in just 6 cities and 3 states. Building public awareness about unfair scheduling remains a key challenge. Recent urban social movements challenge assumptions that redistributive policies deter investment. Their effectiveness comes from bridging traditional divides between workplace and housing issues, while uniting racial and class concerns. These coalitions leverage the momentum of urban growth and investment. Years of refined collaboration have created efficient policy networks that can rapidly replicate successful advocacy strategies across cities. The Great Recession and Occupy Wall Street helped reframe inequality as an urgent legislative priority. While victories like the $15 minimum wage mark progress, they're viewed as starting points. Justice movements continue pushing expansive visions, with racial equity helping translate abstract inequalities into concrete policy demands. Today's movements proactively shape urban policy rather than merely respond to it, with city leaders increasingly championing racial and economic equality. This transformation, though challenging, is steadily moving justice from the periphery to the center of urban governance.